Good evening. I trust in my heart, it's just good to be here this evening. I have really enjoyed getting to know the dear brothers and sisters in this area over the past year and a half, 2 years. Would love to spend a lot of time in the introductory remarks just naming people, but I leave somebody out. But I just have appreciated the good fellowship and spirit we have felt amongst y'all. You have your Bibles with you. I'd like to turn over to John chapter 13. Also, in a way of introduction, I want to apologize to the sound tech. They asked me what subject was on my mind. I gave them a different text. I hope it's of the Lord, where our mind has been stirred. I want to say this. Everything that the Lord has given us to do in the house of God and the church of Jesus Christ points towards Jesus. Do you realize that?
Amen.
How do we pray? Whenever we come to the Lord to pray, how do we pray? We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Do you realize, you know, by the way, what's church? It's singing, preaching, and praying, right? Do you realize the Bible teaches us over in Hebrews chapter 2 that whenever we sing, we sing with Jesus in the midst. Jesus is singing with us. And do you realize that the way you sing represents the doctrine that you and I believe?
Right.
Acapella singing without musical instrument points to that we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It points to the fact that we believe that the offering is finished. I won't get too much into it, but over in 2 Chronicles 29 and 29, and in that area, whenever they are sacrificing the offering there, the king commanded that all the musical instruments be played while the offering was being made. And he commanded that the musical instruments be played until what? Until the sacrifice was finished. And then after the sacrifice was finished, he commanded the congregation to sing without instrument together. Do you realize that whenever you sing without instrument to God, that you are proclaiming that you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ? That you are proclaiming that there is not a work left to do, that the sacrifice has been made, that the sins have been remitted, and our sins have been atoned for. I tell you, baptism, brothers and sisters, whenever we, first time I ever shouted amongst the people is at a baptism one day. We were at an evening service, and it was after the evening service, an association, and the pastor took the brother and stood him up here, just like I'm standing there. And I'm going to tell you, for the first time, I've always preached how that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. I've always preached it, and I believed it. But for the first time, Brother Paul, I was able to see whenever that man took that brother down in the water and brought him back up. I'm going to tell you, my soul was wound up and I went, "Woo!" Because I was able to see for the first time, I was able to see him standing up represented an alive Savior, Jesus Christ. And him going down represented the death. And him staying under the water represented the burial of Jesus Christ. And him coming up represented the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, before you join a church, you better hope they believe in the resurrection before you get baptized. Or are you just going to stay down there? And then we have the bread and the wine. I want you to understand, our singing represents what we believe about Christ. Our baptism represents what we believe about Christ. The bread and the wine represents what we believe about Christ. I'm going to tell you, the bread, whenever you take of communion, you take of an unleavened bread. That represents the sinless body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it represents that He was born of a virgin. That's the reason He has a sinless body. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And that wine that we take there, it represents the purifying nature of Jesus' blood. I'm going to tell you, that wine represents that blood that purged us of our sins. I want you to understand, everything that the Lord has commanded us to do in the church of Jesus Christ points to Him. And that is the same with feet washing as well. And if the Lord will bless us for just a little bit, I want us to be able to see Jesus and washing of the saints' feet. Over in the second verse of John chapter 13, let's start out in the fourth verse. After supper being ended, here in the fourth verse it says, "He rises from supper." This is talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "And please pray for us. I need help." I'm going to tell you, just like the apostles needed help with the five loaves and the two fishes to feed 5,000 people, I need that same help right now. I'm going to tell you, the Lord tells us and teaches us that preaching is a miracle. He likens preaching unto raising the dead. He likens preaching to the blind eyes being opened. He likens preaching to the crippled being able to walk. I'm going to tell you, we need the very intervention of God tonight. Because if we don't, this is just a lesson, and I'm not a school teacher, so it's going to be a poor one. We need the Holy Ghost to intermingle with these words so that while you're looking at me, you would quit looking at me and you would be able to see Christ our Lord. And look what it says here. "He rises from supper and laid aside his garment." I'm going to read verse 4 through 17, then we're going to expound upon it. It says, "He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter and saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." I'm going to pause right here, brothers and sisters, because it's something that really good brothers and sisters need to understand. Yes, the Lord is washing the disciples' feet, and yes, He is going to command the disciples to wash one another's feet so that they can mimic, so they could follow after what the Lord did. But here, the Lord told Peter the importance of him to wash his feet. One of the hardest things it is for people to get a balance in serving and being served. There's some people who just love to serve, and they don't want you to serve them. And I'm going to tell you, there's some people who just love to serve, and they don't want to serve. We need to be doing both. That's the reason whenever we wash feet, I'm just not washing Brother Paul's feet, and he goes along his way, or he's not just washing my feet, and I go along my way. We serve one another, amen?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, if you're not serving your brothers and sisters in Christ, if all you're doing is taking, you need to repent. And if you're not receiving from your brothers and sisters in Christ, if your brothers and sisters in Christ are trying to help you, if they're trying to serve you, if they're trying to lift you up, if they're trying to help you in their humble way, you will not say, "No, I'm not going to take it." You will not say, "No, I don't need help." You need to let them help you, because you don't you like it when you help them?
Right.
Don't steal their joy.
Amen.
Then it goes on and says this. "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean." Now, we're going to try to wrap it up the next few verses and then get to preaching. "So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Look, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, and He washed the saints' feet, we ought also to wash one another's feet. Then he says, "For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, we're going to go back to the fourth verse. I want you to get this. We're going to be doing some spiritualizing, but I believe it's of the Lord. And I can't partake of a feet washing service and not see what I'm about to bring out to you. And I hope that you're able to see it too, because if you are, it's going to be beautiful. And if you don't, it's not going to be. But he says, he rises from supper, fourth verse, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. What I want us to focus on, there's a few things I want us to focus on in this preaching tonight. I want you to get that Jesus, whenever he rises from supper, he laid aside his garment. And then it says, whenever he laid aside his garment, he girded himself, meaning he clothed himself with a towel. And then it says, after he clothed himself with that towel, he washed them. He had to get down on the floor. He had to get to the lowest point that a man can get.
Right.
He washed them with the very same thing that he girded himself with. Are you starting to see where I'm going with this? And then it says this. After he was finished, Brother Paul, it says he took back his original garments and he sat down. Do you, any of y'all see the picture yet? I want you to understand, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is God. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus was in heaven, before he came down here, he had the glory of God about him. And the only way that Jesus Christ could come to this earth is he had to lay aside his garment. And that garment was the glory of God. Because I'm going to tell you, if he had came down from heaven with the very glory that he has right now, we would have all died.
Right.
Our unrighteousness, our iniquity, our sin couldn't have been in the very presence of our Lord. In that way. So what I want you to understand, whenever you see the Lord lay aside his garment, I want you to see him up in heaven laying aside his glory and agreeing to come down here. But guess what? He couldn't come down here naked, could he? He had to clothe himself with something. And it says after he laid aside his garment, you know what he did? He girded himself with a towel. I'm going to tell you over in Hebrews chapter 10, about verse 5, it says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, you know what he clothed himself with? He clothed himself with flesh and blood.
Right.
You know the reason that you're going to be in heaven one day? Because your sins was laid upon his flesh, and his blood purged you from every stain, from every sin that you've ever committed. I'm going to tell you, he laid aside that garment. He girded himself with that towel, which is flesh and blood. And guess what he washed us with? The very same thing that he put on, the flesh and blood. Because isn't that what communion represents? His body being broken, having our sins laid upon him. Look, if our sins weren't laid upon him, they'd be beating on him right now and still be alive.
Right.
Because the wages of sin is death. Him dying, him being a perfect God-man, and him dying represents that he bore our sins. And then you know what it says, Brother Paul? It says, after he washed them, you know what he did? He took back his garments.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever the Lord cleansed us of our stains, he ain't in that grave.
Right.
You know where he's at? He went back to heaven to get his clothes back. I want to tell you right now. And you know what it said? It said after he took back his garments, Brother Mike. You know what it says here? It says he sat down. You know what Jesus Christ is doing right now? He's sitting down at the right hand of God. Can you not see that? And you know why people sit down? Or they used to whenever people worked. But you know why people sit down? Look, I'm a country Louisiana boy. If my daddy told me to do something, and he came back and I was sitting down, and I wasn't scared, he knew it was done. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The reason folks sit down is because they're finished. The reason Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God today, because the work of redemption is done. But He's coming back one day. He's coming back one day. And this vile body which you and I possess right now shall be likened unto His glorious body. Can't you wait? Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to never sin again. I can't wait to never hurt nobody's feelings again. I can't wait to for the day that I don't have to say, Lord, just help me not do that one more time. And it's all because of what the Lord did for us. And I'm going to reiterate what we just went through, and we're going to press on a bit. Whenever the Lord laid aside His garment, it represented Him laying aside His glory and coming down from heaven. Whenever He girded Himself with a towel, it's a representation of Him girding Himself with flesh and blood. And then whenever He washed them with the very same thing that He girded Himself, that He clothed Himself with, it is a picture of our sins being atoned for our sins being taken away, for our sins being purged by the very clothing that He wore, which was flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And then whenever He took back His garments and He sat down, that's a picture of the Lord going back to heaven and taking His glory back and sitting down at the right hand of God.
Right.
Can y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
Is that not pretty?
Amen.
It's beautiful to me. Brothers and sisters, go with me over to Philippians 1. Or Philippians 2, I should say. It says this. By the way, you know why He did that? You know why the Lord died for us? Because He loves us.
Yeah.
You say, well, why did He have to die for us? Because He loves us. Because the only way that you and I could be in heaven with Him one day is if He died for us. What I want you to understand, the reason Jesus died for us is so that we would be reconciled to Him. And you know what? I'm skipping ahead a little bit. But sometimes, the only way that you and I, as a church body, can be reconciled to one another is if we die a little bit. Amen?
Right.
Look what it says here. Over in the fifth verse. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And why did He do that? Over in Hebrews 12 it says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever you and I humble ourselves in our marriages, there's going to be a joy. Whenever you and I humble ourselves in the church of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a joy. Whenever we humble ourselves, whenever we read the Word of God and we get convicted, we realize we need to change something and we change it, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a joy. I'm going to tell you, but killing the flesh is not easy. And the only way you can accomplish it here in this life is if we're looking at the joy. I tell you, I've been on thousands of diets. Look, last year I lost 260 pounds. I'm going to tell you, what is lost can be found. But I remember I was on a diet one time. I was on one of these crazy diets, 500 calorie diet. And we were at a meeting, and the brethren seen how much it just made me in anguish having to walk by the fried chicken and the chocolate cake. And Brother Steve Woods said, Brother Danny, look at that chair right there. And he was pointing towards one of my arch enemies, Brother Mike. It's a chair with sides on it. The oppressive chairs, I call them. Because you know what happens when I sit in them? When I get back up, they come with me. Okay? And he pointed towards that chair. And he said, Brother Danny, I know you're struggling. And I know you want to eat all this good food. But look, one day you'll be able to sit in that chair. One day you won't have to walk into a room and look for a chair without signs. What he was trying to motivate me on is the joy that was set before me, Brother Paul.
Right.
He's saying, it's worth it, Brother Danny. There's a reason you want to lose weight. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, look what Paul says over in the second chapter of Philippians. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy. What he's saying is, if you've received anything from my gospel, if you receive anything from the preaching of Jesus Christ, if you feel comfort in the Lord, if you feel His Spirit, fulfill ye my joy by doing this one thing, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever we come together at communion and we wash each other's feet, if we're not coming there with the mind of Christ Jesus, if we're not coming there with humility, which is splashing water on feet, but I want to tell you, we need to be serving our brothers and sisters. I want to tell you, if Brother Paul says something that steps on my toes or hurts my feelings, I need to look at him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I need to humble myself. And I need to say, you know what? Splitting the church ain't worth this. You know what? I want to tell Brother Paul the what for, but I don't want to hurt the church. So I'm going to keep it to myself. And I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to tell you, there's so many times in our church life, there's so many times in our marital life, and there's so many times in life that there would be more joy if we just humbled ourselves, if we just killed the flesh, if we esteemed my brother higher than myself, if we wouldn't make fun of one another. I'm going to tell you, there's probably everybody in here has somebody they make fun of. If we wouldn't bully one another. If we wouldn't talk about people. I'm going to tell you, Apostle Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But you know how that happens? I got to kill that tongue. I got to kill that flesh. You know what? I'm going to preach a sermon one day. It's going to call it What Mama Said. And what I mean by that, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what that means? If you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. I think there's a lot of things that Mama said that's straight from the Bible. Let's go back over to John 13 and we'll end our remarks. It says this, 12th verse. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, and was sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, if we get it, yes, feet washing is a picture of humility. Amen. But you know what the most humblest act ever was done? Whenever God came down from glory, and he robed himself in the likeness of men. And then after he'd done lowered himself to be a man, he got on the floor. And he washed their feet. But what I'm going to tell you, what's even more humbler than that, if that's a word, if you will. Brothers and sisters, he died. And what's even more humble than that? Every sin that you and I ever committed was laid upon our Lord. I'll tell you this, I went to a camp meeting one year down in Texas in the year 2003. Beautiful time, the air conditioner broke Thursday night in Texas. We met outside the rest of the meeting in Texas. But the Lord was there and it was beautiful. I didn't turn the TV on until I got back home Saturday. And I turned the television on and there was some young lady advertising beer in a bikini. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Mike, I seen that, my heart began to lust, and I was smoked. For the last 3 days, I've been singing praise unto God. For the last 3 days, I've been hearing about my Jesus. For the last 3 days, I was around God's saints, and I didn't listen to a radio, I didn't watch a simple television program, and now here I am sitting in front of a television and lusting after what I see. I was smoked! And I wanted to crawl under the couch. That's one sin. One sin made a sinner feel like that. Think about every sin that you ever committed, and every sin that I ever committed, and every sin that this whole church house ever committed, and every sin that every elect in Ireland ever committed, and every elect in America ever committed, and every elect in the world ever committed, laid upon a righteous soul. How do you think he felt? I'll tell you how he felt. My God, why has thou forsaken me?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, if the Lord Jesus could suffer that so that you and I could be reconciled unto him and have joy with him in heaven, why would we not have the mind of Christ whenever we deal with one another? I tell you, I love you and God bless you.
By the way, happy are you if you do it.